The future of U.S. airlines, maybe in China. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. American Airlines is making a big bet on China. It's paying $200 million for what turns out to be quite a small stake in China Southern Airlines, the largest state-owned carrier there. Marketplace's Mark Garrison is here with more on what this means for the way we fly and for global trade.
The move will give American a deeper connection to China. That country's growing at a pace where it will eventually pass North America as the world's largest air travel market. This is the latest in a wave of deals as airlines around the world angle for a slice of the Chinese market. Delta and United have also invested in or partnered with other China-owned airlines. Just like in other industries, it can be tricky for foreign companies to set up shop in China. Investing in a state-owned firm is a way to get a foot in the door. American stake in China Southern could pave the way to collaboration on sales, marketing, and airport facilities. As for China Southern, linking up with a major U.S. carrier gives it a chance to learn a few things that might power its own global ambition. This also fits in with Beijing's goals of diversifying its economy beyond manufacturing and becoming a bigger player in service businesses, including tourism. Sabri?
Thanks, Mark. And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is flat, but the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 0.1% range, with the Dow future up just 8 points. Lawmakers are meeting today to discuss the future of food stamps. The real name of food stamps is the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. A House committee is considering a change that would limit which foods people on food stamps can buy with their benefits. Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
The cost of the SNAP program has escalated significantly in the past two decades. It carried a $17 billion price tag in 2000. It was just under $71 billion last year. Susan Levin is a dietitian with the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. She says the government should talk about changing the program.
I think the conversation needs to be a little bit more creative than just, hey, eat more fruits and vegetables and call it a day. I think we need to talk about what people are actually buying with SNAP dollars.
She says people are buying fatty foods and sugary soft drinks with their benefits. Diane Schanzenbach, an economics professor at Northwestern University, says there are some incentives for buying healthy foods, but it ain't easy.
People shouldn't purchase as much sugar sweet beverages, and we shouldn't be subsidizing it. Well, it's a lot harder to change that behavior than it looks.
Because she says most people in the SNAP program supplement what they spend on groceries with their own money. So if you can't buy those sodas with food stamps, you're likely just going to pay cash for them. I'm Andy Euler from Marketplace.
One of the U.S.'s major exports is education. Yep, technically, international students purchasing U.S. education and coming here to study count as exports. They contribute almost $31 billion a year to the U.S. economy. There are a million of them enrolled in colleges across the U.S. But colleges are now reporting a drop in applications from other countries, citing the uncertainty around the Trump administration's travel and immigration policies. Some schools are taking steps to reassure students who are already here. From the Marketplace's education desk at WYPR, Amy Scott reports.
Indiana State University in Terre Haute is typically pretty deserted during spring break. But on a cold afternoon earlier this month, several dozen international students gathered for lunch on campus.
I feel for you and the fact that you're here at Indiana State University and not in a warmer climate.
Chris McGrew is director of the Center for Global Engagement, which oversees the university's international programs. He, along with staff from Student Affairs and Public Safety and Admissions, hosted this lunch to answer students' questions and make them feel welcome.
It was designed to be just a conversation, to send the message that, hey, we're thinking about you, we care about what's going on, so how you doing kind of thing.
As the number of international students has grown on college campuses, it's become more common to keep a dorm open and some services running during breaks for students who can't easily go home. But this year, ISU encouraged its international students not to travel outside the country.
We don't want a student to be caught up in something at the border and not be able to return and finish classes.
Mustafa Mustafa is a 21-year-old junior studying marketing. He comes from one of the six majority Muslim countries affected by the Trump administration's latest travel ban. For his own protection, he didn't want to say which one.
The jokes of you are getting deported start popping up more and more, and they are usually followed with, oh, I'm just joking. But I feel like to all jokes, there is a hint of truth in them.
Mustafa no longer plans to return home this summer for fear of not being able to come back. He also worries his family won't be able to come see him graduate next year.
They had helped me throughout my whole time here. and them not being here to see me walk across the stage was the most hurtful and scariest part of it all.
Peggy Blumenthal with the Institute for International Education says other colleges have set up hotlines and special counseling sessions or offer legal help.
They're also working with faculty and domestic students to make sure that they go out of their way to make these students feel comfortable.
In a recent survey, almost 40% of colleges reported a drop in international applications. Colleges rely on those students not just for diversity, but for the full tuition they often bring. Schools have also taken the marketing to Twitter with the hashtag, You Are Welcome Here. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
What's in a name? Millions. Researchers from the University at Buffalo in New York and Finland's University of Oulu found that investors will allocate more money to hedge funds with serious names that have gravitas, names that include words signifying knowledge or a continent, Asia, prodigy, Newtonian, dynamic. Of course, hedge funds with these names don't actually do any better. In fact, they do worse than hedge funds with more boring names. So even allegedly brilliant big shot investors can be suckers for a good name. We are just mammals, people, mammals with money. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Bill Lance. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.